Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to the Low Sodium Show. I am your host, Mark Landing Crew Wheeler, and we have a show for you today. Tonight, for your life, we are probably going to go through all hour and a half for this show. Reason is because we're going to talk about the most versatile 24/7, 365 bait that we have in our arsenal, and that is the Wiley spinnerbait. We're going to break down the rods, the line, the reels, the bait itself. We're going to nitpick this till the point that it's going to die. And hopefully you can walk away from it with more knowledge, because knowledge is power, and power means that you can do amazing things. So, we're going to get this thing cracking here in a second. Okay, he's back in. All right. Say hello to the co-host of the Low Sodium Show, my buddy, Matt Yak Chum Trucks. What's going on, man?
Hey, good evening, Mark. Good to be on the radio again. Looking forward to this show. I actually have a giveaway from my personal stash of garb. So we're going to be giving that away a little later in the show. I'm looking forward to doing that. That's going to be a Jackson Kayak koozie. Keep your soda cool.
Excellent.
Yeah.
And I know that we're going to give away a two of my personal favorite spinner baits, my favorite colors, thanks to huntfishpaddle.com and their store in Lake Wylie, South Carolina. I'm going to donate two of my favorite colored spinner baits to a listener for the on the show tonight as well. So it's full of giveaways for tonight's show. And you only get this if you listen live and you participate,
right,
either in the chat room or you call in. Remember, folks, you can always call in. The number is 714-816-4727. So we're going to break down real fast on how we're going to do this, the show. We're going to start off with the basic gear you're going to need to start spinnerbait fishing. You know, the do's and don'ts, okay, of gear. And then we're going to break down the spinnerbait itself. Okay, why are there so many different styles and blades and everything? I'm going to break that down. And then we're going to get into how to fish it, because that is the number one question I get. How do I fish a spinnerbait? When do I fish it? You know, do the polar ice caps need to align, and, you know, the mother-in-law not nag you? I mean, that's literally the questions I get, not the mother-in-law nagging thing. But, you know, when do I throw it? How do I throw it? What color should I use? You know, and I hear a lot of guys that saying, you know, and some famous guys as well, you know, it doesn't matter what color you throw with a spinnerbait as long as you're a truce. Well, yeah, that's a great color choice, but you know what? We're going to break that down even farther. And be truthfully honest, y'all, spinnerbaits are my crutch. I actually had to remove them from my tackle box, because once I start throwing a spinnerbait, I don't stop. It's like a disease. It's like herpes. Okay, it's just the gift that keeps on giving, and it just doesn't give enough. it's a hard thing for me to put down, because I know how effective they are. I know they catch bass, you know, and it's just one of those things that I just love throwing, and it's covering water and really covering it well is what a spinnerbait does best. But just like always, we're going to take a quick break, okay? And when we come right back, we're going to start breaking this stuff down. And you're listening live here to the Low Sodium Show, only on the Kayak Fishing Radio Network.
Looking for a new cooler with a lifetime warranty and made 100% in the United States? Look no further than Orca Coolers. These roto-molded, rugged coolers feature premium quality, seamless construction, meaning they're built to take whatever you and Mother Nature throws at them. Orca Coolers allow ice to keep for days, and they have non-slip feet so your cooler stays where you want it. With secure external latch system, the lid always stays closed. Orca Coolers, made 100% in the USA, always has been, always will be. Check them out at OrcaCoolers.com.
Do you love adventure? Do you love comfort? Do you love kayaking? Well, Jackson Kayak is here for you with their wide array of extremely comfortable whitewater kayaks. Safety is paramount as well. Ralph Vargas would not drop 100-some-odd feet on a waterfall if he didn't believe in his stuff. You wouldn't see Jim Sammons out on the brand-new Kraken just tearing it up. You wouldn't see a lot of us out there fishing if we didn't have the comfort, style, and stability of the Jackson Kayak line. So get out there, check them out from our awesome, awesome Therma-Rest back set, and so much more. You cannot get better than a Jackson Kayak. So check them out. Go to JacksonKayak.com or your local dealer to check out the full line of Jackson Kayaks. Jackson Kayak. Don't need to say anything else than that.
You are listening to The Low Sodium Show on Kayak Fishing Radio with your host, Mark the Landing Crew Wheeler.
All right, and we are back.
Getting that funk on.
Oh, yeah, getting that funk. With spinnerbaits, hey, Matt, you need to turn down your speaker, bud. I'm getting a lot of back feed. But the segment is brought to you by huntfishpaddle.com. Check out their online store, okay? Because we've got something special for y'all. Go to huntfishpaddle.com. You can buy all your stuff there, or you can call them up, let them know. Spinnerbait10, that's the discount code for 10% off all of their spinnerbaits, okay? So if you buy 10 spinnerbaits, you get 10% off all those spinnerbaits if you listen to the show, because I know you're going to go out and buy like 10 or 15 spinnerbaits thanks to huntfishpaddle.com. And definitely check them out. Great prices, great people. And if you don't see it on their website, give them a call. Adam will be more than willing to handle you. All right? So let's get right to it. Spinnerbait fishing. All right? What you're going to do is this. With spinnerbaits, okay, the rod, the line, the reel are just as important as the color and the shape of the blades and how you fish it. And that is my personal opinion. Okay, I see guys throwing a spinnerbait on spinning gear. No. Okay, the reason is, and we're going to get into that a little bit later, on how you actually fish a spinnerbait correctly. And I'm very proficient at it. I've been around anglers that are spinnerbait kings. Kevin Van Dam. I spent 45 minutes talking to Kevin a couple of years ago just on spinnerbaits. You know, you're definitely going to want to do that, to listen. I'm reading as I'm talking. I'm sorry. I can't keep two and two together. But you're going to definitely want gosh darn it. Matt, quit posting stuff that I'm reading. But the rod is extremely important. The line is important. The reel is important. Okay? Casting gear is your number one gift to spinnerbait fishing, to helping yourself. Okay, and personally for me, it's a 7-2 casting rod, okay, medium heavy, with a nice soft tip, okay, meaning you don't want a fast tip, okay, you want something a little slow in its reaction, okay, you only want that reaction going down to about the first 18 inches. Okay, and then you want backbone. Bull Bay Rods has a great worm/spinning rod, or spinnerbait rod. And actually, I highly recommend it, not for worms, but for spinning. It has an excellent spinning, and also just crankbaits really well, too. Rod, okay, it casts really far, it's really forgiving, and it's what you're looking for in a spinnerbait rod. And again, that's where I'm going at. And if you look at that line, You want a rod that can run line between 10 pounds and 15 or 20 pounds. Okay, that's your limits. And be able to handle up to 3/4 of an ounce, okay, of weight. The reason is like we'll get into, you know, techniques in a little bit later in the show, but you want something with some that can handle some weight, because you will be pulling that bait through the water, and displacing a lot of water as well. You need something that can handle some weight. You know, and we'll get into how important that is and how that benefits a kayak angler more so than a boat angler. And I'm coming from both sides. Sorry, guys. I got a lot of stuff going on. So, you know, the rod, 7.2, medium heavy with a moderate tip, you know, 15 to 20. And, you know, that's basically where I'm coming from. Able to throw at least 3/4 of an ounce. Usually you can find a rod that can go 1/4 to 3/4, have that half ounce gap, which is perfect. Next thing you're going to need is a reel. Personally for me, I am going to throw a 6.5:1 gear ratio reel. I find that is the perfect speed. I can reel it real slow and really slow roll that big Colorado blade in the wintertime or at night. It just works really, really well. I can pick up the speed and really crank it so I can burn it over the surface. Or I can just do a nice moderate crank and just use the rod tip to garner the placement of the bait in the water column. Okay? I can also use that reel. Okay, so when I'm throwing it in a deep cover, usually 6.5:1 reels have enough torque, enough oomph in behind them, that when I'm in the thick cover, I can still winch them out, but I can also play them when they get next to the boat for like a spotted bass or a smallmouth when they want to bulldog you next to the boat. It'll have that drag in there that you can work them as well. And usually 6.5:1 give you the most line capacity as well, except for your higher gear ratios that are coming out now that have the really high density, high capacity. Gosh darn it. all right, setups. The line I'm using. I am strictly using now Sunline FC Sniper. So my uses. Another great one is the Sunline Reaction. It's actually a fluorocarbon that has stretch in it. For spinner baits, because the way I fish them, I like using the Sniper. Or Shooter's good as well. Very, very strong. Really, really has a humongous abrasion resistance. Once it's wet, it has to be wet for it to be really abrasion resistant. But once you get that sucker in the water, they can wrap you around trees, you know, and so much more. You know, and I truly believe in them. Super strong. I use 14 pound. 14 is my go-to weight for a lot of my techniques. That 14-pound is going to give you the thin diameter, okay, that I'm looking for. Really, they can't see it. Also, what it's going to do is, because it is so thin, it gives me a lot of line on the spool, which is very important for this, because I make a very long cast with a spinnerbait. But it also helps keep that spinnerbait running true. When a spinnerbait goes to the water, okay, when you use mono or braid, and what happens is the mono and braid float, and they'll actually make the spinnerbait sit a little high, actually face a little higher up in the water column. Okay, it's a very subtle thing, and something I really looked at talking to some of the guys that are very good at it. Hackney, you know, talks about it all the time. Kevin Van Dam, Iaconelli, Timmy Horton talked about it a little bit, about using fluorocarbon. Because it sinks, gives you a straight one-on-one presentation, allows that bait to actually run true to allow those blades to really give a true shad baitfish look. very important. Okay. And trust me, I am all about throwing braid. I threw braid forever. And I used to put like a 6-foot fluorocarbon leader on there. Problem is that if you start using micro guides, which a lot of us are going to, or you start using, you buy a new rod that has a micro guides, and you start doing that, when that line goes through those guides, it's smacking that knot every time. And I am a very prolific knot tier, and you cannot make a knot small enough to go through those micro guides unless you're using a hollow core and you're doing a bunch of other stuff to make it almost seamless. It's really hard. Plus, by having all fluoro, you can cut and tie without having to retie a second knot. So those are all things that I consider as well. Now, we've talked about the rod, the reel, and the line. Okay, let's start talking about the different spinnerbaits that are out there. And we'll talk about the most important piece of a whole spinnerbait, okay? Or one of the more important pieces, and that's the blade. That's what everyone looks at. What are the blades? There are three main blade types. You can go to the event page on Facebook for this show, and you can see the post, okay, about those blades. There are three main types that I really pay attention to. Granted, there are hundreds of others. There's the Tomahawk, and then there's the Stamped, but they're all kind of based off of the three main blade types that I know of, that I use. You have the Willow Leaf. It's a very thin blade, meaning that it's super, usually long and thin. Okay, it doesn't have a humongous cup on it, meaning that the bevel that is on the blade itself isn't really prominent. Okay, there is one, but it's not as defined as some of the other ones. This is a perfect blade for when you're trying to imitate thin shad, thin minnows, or when you're burning the bait fast because it doesn't make the bait rise. Okay, the speed, the rocket blades, I think they are, from Booyah, or Strike King, I can't remember which one it is. Really long, thin blade, and it's meant for burning. Super fast presentation. I'm checking my tackle box, yeah. Or the Tommy is, sorry. And that's usually the blades that I start off with, because I'm usually working it pretty fast this time of the year. Next one up, okay, is the Colorado blade. Now, your basic Colorado blade is your basic Colorado blade is big and round, okay? Sorry, the mute button broke off the TV. But it's usually, looks like a pie, has a really defined bevel in it. you're an ass. Has a really defined bevel, okay? It's really bulbous. It's chunky, okay? Great thing about a Colorado blade is it pushes a lot of water. Really helps in muddy water or cold water. Okay, reason is because it makes the bait rise. Because it's pushing so much water, it creates an aerodynamic effect and make the bait rise in the water column, which is good sometimes. Okay, but again, it's a great setup. And usually, you see them much smaller as the lead blade on most spinnerbaits. You see a Colorado Willow Leaf tandem. Usually you don't see a Willow Leaf and then a Colorado. Reason is it just doesn't work as well. Can you do it? Yes. But you usually don't see it as much. Then the third blade is called the Indiana or the Oklahoma. There's two different styles of that blade. But basically what it is, it's a crossbreed between a Willow Leaf and a Colorado. And you usually tell what these ones are because they usually have a ridge running right down the middle, okay, a peak almost. I love Indiana blades. especially in the fall. They give off a good amount of vibration. They also can be worked pretty quick, okay? They're usually, because it can be worked quick, they're perfect for when their bass are pushing shad and those bait fish are moving fast. It allows you to move and keep up with that bait to mimic that forage that the bass are feeding on to help you get things worked out, if that makes any sense. But it's also great in muddy or dirty water, as it gives off a lot of that flash that you're looking for. It also gives off that vibration you're looking for as well. It's a solid setup. And really can be a lot of fun, interchanging those blades. And we'll get into that in 1 second, and we'll be right back. We'll take a quick break, and we'll be right back with more of the Low Sodium Show, only on the Kayak Fishing Radio Network.
Bull Bay Custom Rods are handcrafted, designed, built by fishermen for fishermen. Each blank goes through a rigorous stress test to ensure the highest quality, period. You can actually feel the action of the bite as well as lure vibration through the foregrip. Made with the highest quality components and made to your specifications, Bull Bay Custom Rods bring innovation to your hands. Go to bbrods.com to check out some amazing custom rods. Bull Bay Custom Rods, built by fishermen for fishermen.
All right, y'all. You know one of my favorite techniques, especially this time of year in the summer doldrums, is a shaky head. And Tommy Head Jigs has the premier shaky head out in the market. With its stand-up design, 60-degree eye, and 100% mustache strength and durability, jig head, you tie one on, you put a good trailer on it, a good soft plastic on there, and you will catch more and bigger bass. So get out there, throw on a Tommy head, pick up a pack. I know the last few days, get on it, y'all. Get to TommyHeadJigs.com right now. Order yourself 2 packs, okay, of the watermelon color. You get 1 pack free, okay? So do like I do. Buy bulk. Buy 2 of everything, of every size, and you'll be sold with a bunch of great Tommy Head Jigs. So go to TommyHeadJigs.com, check them out, pick up a pack, and let them know that you heard them here at the Low Sodium Show first.
Kayak Fishing Radio presents the Low Sodium Show, with your host, Mark the Landing Crew Wheeler.
All right. And we're back. Remember, folks, this segment
we're
is brought
back.
To you by... Yes. And remember, this segment is brought to you by HuntFishPaddle.com. Remember, your next purchase of any spinnerbait, you can receive 10% off by using the promo code SPINNERBAIT10. All right.
There you go. While we're just coming back here, I just want to give a shout-out to our live listeners in the chat room. We have Chris Carlisle, Chris Johnson, Tommy Head Jigs, and Yak Fisher Don. And guests, you can log in to Blog Talk Radio using any type of social media, and come on in and chat with us, all right?
Definitely. And remember, guests, or anyone else for that matter, you can call in live. And chat or ask questions. Number is 714-816-4727. Please do not be stupid. Otherwise, we will know because we can see your number. And we will block you the next time you call.
That's right. So we also have a few giveaways coming up tonight. Probably be doing that at the next intermission.
Yep. You didn't win yet, Tom. Matt's doing the dishes, apparently. So let's break down, interchanging blades and stuff like that, and the rest of the spinnerbait, okay? And a few things people don't really pay enough attention to. The first one is the wire. That is the one thing that people just don't pay enough attention to, and it is so important to the whole spinnerbait. And the reason is the wire is what gives the is what vibrates and really creates the schooling sensation. Okay, this is something that was brought to my attention by Shaw Grigsby at a seminar I was at, and he was talking about spinnerbaits, and he was asking folks, why do we use spinnerbaits that have two or more blades on it? And everyone was kind of sitting there, well, you know, it gives a bigger flash, it does this and that. He goes, no. What it does is it creates a pulsing vibration in that wire, okay, which gives off the a larger bait school interpretation. It is basically the original Caspel umbrella rig, if you want to think it like that. It gives off a larger school feel. So when you're in that muddy, murky, dirty nighttime water where it's hard to see, it will help that bass use his lateral line to feel out that bait. That's why you see some that have some crazy wire work done on them. And it's it is vital that you have a good wire. Now, with that being said, there are some wires out there that are just so thin and so flexible that even when you work in the bait, it deforms it. Really sucks. because they're meant to be bent in a certain way that makes it hard. And I'm going to take a page out of one of the best spinnerbait fishermen as a kayak angler that I know of, and that's Chad Hoover. Chad can throw a spinnerbait like a champ. I don't know how many times we fished with him, and he, you know, busts out a spinnerbait and pull a 3-pounder pretty regularly. And Chad is actually the guy who got me into spinnerbait fishing by giving me a box of spinnerbaits, old ones he had, and really helped me, you know, raise my game in the spinnerbait level.
Was he like, "Yeah, here's a bunch of parts, put them together"?
No, he was like, he was just an old Plano spinnerbait tackle holder, and it had like 15 different spinnerbaits in there. Granted, most of them were rusted and stuff like that, which helped. We'll talk about that in a little bit. You know, understand the blades and how to work with them. But you know, it helped me build that confidence in that bait. And great thing about, you know, understanding the wire size and the different styles that are out there. There's a titanium, there's a tungsten style, there's stainless, there's bronze. I've seen copper wire ones. I don't get into that as much. But what I look for is if I take it out of the package and I take I put my thumb on the jig head of the spinnerbait. I put my index finger on the top of the wire where the top bait blade is, and I pinch it and I let go of it and it springs back to where it needs to go. That's what I'm looking for, because that's very important to the presentation. If I grab one and I do it and it's real slow, then I know with that style I'm not going to work it as hard. I'm not going to work it as fast. That's probably going to be one I'm going to work on, you know, with on the winter time, where everything's a lot slower, when I'm really just slowly doing it. That's something very important. Also, the bend is very important. For me, I do not like the style where it's actually like a little, where they bent it around and create a bubble almost on the end. I don't like that style. Personally, for me, I find that it is it's a pain, and it really, really deadens the. It really deadens the vibration. The one I do like, and I don't see it enough anymore, it's the one that I do when I make my own. Is the wire comes down, it actually creates more of a spring look, and comes down. That spring really is stellar. The spring style just comes down, makes one loop, and comes back around. It doesn't allow the line to ride up the spinner bait like some will. And when it's chomped on, it's already made into that spring, so it'll come back pretty much to where it's set up. Now, the one tip is this that Chad taught me is my spinnerbait box actually has Sharpied in it, the original bend of that spinnerbait. Okay? So when I get a bass, it just absolutely just straightens out the wire like some will. I'll go in, and I just flip over my box. It's already right there. I know I'm using a Hog Collar or War Eagle or Strike King or Booyah spinnerbait, and I'll rebend it to that to where it was originally set. And once I get it to that to that set, I'll look at it again and tune it. And tuning a spinnerbait with the wire is pretty simple. You just hold the bait in your hand and look straight down the hook, jig head, and that wire should be straight in line. Otherwise, it'll start rolling. You don't want that bait to roll. When a bait rolls like that, it makes bad, bad juju. Okay? And you want that spinnerbait to run true, straight up and down. So all you do is you just take that and just bend it back and forth. Just take the blade on the top and just push it to either side till you get it to where it's straight. Now that it's straight, now you're ready to rock and roll. Second thing that most people don't look at or really pay attention to on a spinnerbait, which can really affect the performance of the bait, are the swivels. Okay, usually what you have are clevises, those little U-shaped pieces on that hold the first few blades, usually. Those you don't really have to worry about. What you have to worry about is that swivel. I carry extra ball-bearing swivels. You need the ones with the split rings, okay? And what you look for, I buy them in bulk. I buy tiny, tiny ball bearings. And I'm talking, I think it's like a number two size ball bearing or even smaller than that. The smaller, the better. And the reason is, and I'm actually looking at my catalog here for swivels, and I buy all my extra blades and stuff like that from Jan's Netcraft. Pretty cheap stuff, really quality, a lot of different things to look at as well. But that swivel, if it is rusted, if it's been clamped on or whatever, it won't allow that blade to spin. And that is really Barlow's, another great one. Barlow's has some great products as well. Jan's is actually the catalog I had sitting next to me. Let's see here what size. Yeah, it's not 150. It's like a size 1 swivel. Okay. That size 1 small, it's compact. And I'll change out those swivels every so often. If I'm just not seeing it work, it's not like a buzzbait where you want it to squeak. You don't want extra. You just want a swivel that's going to let that sucker spin. And then the last thing you need that people don't pay enough attention to is the jig head itself. I found that a lot of small tackle guys out there. Actually heat up their lead too hot when they pour, and it actually damages the wire. When I grab a spinnerbait and I look at it, the first thing I do is I grab right at the jig head, and I just kind of slightly give it some torque. If I feel that wire starting to give, and you know what I'm talking about, that feeling of something just not right, I put it back on the shelf. And that's why some of the better jig spinnerbait companies out there have it down to a science. Hog Collar, Booyah, War Eagle, all of them, you really need to be careful on what you're using. Because, spinnerbaits catch big bass a lot of times, and you don't want to lose it just because it's a bad mold process. And the hooks as well. You know, look at the hook and match the hook to your to what you're doing. You know, I'm usually looking for a solid, heavy wire spinnerbait hook. The heavier, the better, because it is going to hold a trailer, trailing hook. And if they hook onto that trailer, I don't want that hook to bend out. That's a bad, bad juju as well. So let's get into things that I really pay attention to on that spinnerbait. Blades. We're going to start with the blades and how I modify them. We're going to start in the wintertime. In the winter, okay, I am using a Colorado-bladed spinnerbait. Usually it's a single Colorado. Sometimes it's a double Colorado style. And I'm using a pie plate of a Colorado. And we're talking big. If it's the size of, I'm talking like a size 7, a size 8 Colorado blade, which is pretty darn big. It's about 2.5 inches in diameter. It's a big blade. I'm using a heavy wire, okay, on it, okay, and I'm using a pretty stout jig head size, 1/2 ounce, 3/4 ounce. Because, again, Colorado blades will make that bait rise. I don't want it to rise to the surface because those bass are suspended. When I want to find those bass, I start off with this pretty simple setup. My first cast, that bait's going to sink to the bottom. I'm going to slowly roll it along the bottom. I don't get a bite. I'm going to go, and I'm going to count, because I've counted down to where it hit the bottom before. I'm going to go back, make another cast. So say it was a 10 count to hit the bottom. I'm going to give it an 8 count. Give it the same retrieve. Next one, 6, 4, and so on. Okay? The whole time I'm reeling in, I'm varying my retrieve. We'll get more into that in a little bit. And that's how I work it. And I'm trying to find stumps, logs around docks, deep water docks, standing timber. Bass will associate to those places more during the wintertime and use them as a barometer to their depth on how the water temps are, the thermoclines, things like that. One thing that I really watch is the water temps. Also, I'll watch the aggressiveness of the bass. If I'm throwing that sucker and I'm you know, I'm running that Colorado almost near the surface, and it just gets hammered. I know I can switch it up to a willow leaf style, okay, or an Indiana blade, or Oklahoma, whichever one you want to use, and be able to work it, you know, a little bit faster in that higher water column, drop down to, you know, 1/4 ounce, and work it along that area because they're active. For whatever reason, you know, let's say there's a you don't know it, you've never fished that lake before, and maybe there's an upwelling of warmer well water, which will happen in some places. You know, they're stellar like that. You know, that could be that warm water discharge that, you know, you can run that bait a little faster. Once that water temp hits 50 degrees, I switch up, I take the Colorado off, and I'll use a 1/2 ounce, 3/4 again. And a lot of times it's the same spinnerbait I've been using. I'll remove that Colorado, and I'll put a big willow leaf on. We're talking a size 6, a size 7 blade on there. And really start looking for that emergent vegetation. 50 degrees is usually where you start to see it start to come out. But what's happening is those bass are moving up to the channel swings. They're moving up to the edges of those flats where they're feeding, getting ready for the spawn. This is the pre-spawn now. So now I'm making those casts, and now I'm really working that bait hard, working it fast, getting that those reaction strikes. And using that bigger blade is mimicking those larger shad before they start spawning. There's not going to be a lot of small bait fish yet, so that bigger blade really mimics that larger forage that they're eating. Okay. Also, while I'm doing all this, okay, the spawn hits. Water temps 55, almost 60 degrees. I'm downsizing my blades. I'm dropping down to about a quarter ounce, so I'm working shallow pockets as well. Now I'm throwing, and I'm burning, and I'm working, and I'm finding all those little pockets. I'm covering water, okay? This is where that water temps hit 65. It's rising. I'll start putting on and using multi-willow leaf setups. What I'll do is I'll use ones that have four willow leaves on them, where they have three, and really work them a lot, because now the shad have spawned already. The shad are smaller. They're great. Great, great little setup. Now I'm really burning it. Now I'm casting and working that bait near the surface. Now I'm working it over that vegetation that has come up, okay? It is about 3 feet off the bottom, where I'm putting it right on top of that vegetation. I'm ripping it out of there. You know, that's the style I'm doing it right now. Summer comes along, summer doldrums. I start going back. I start going back to a larger blade. I start working deep water again. Those bass have moved out. Now I'm starting to work that setup. Smallmouth, this is the smallmouth season for me. I love going after smallmouth this time of year. This is where I'm using, you know, quarter ounce spinner baits with like a size 4 Colorado blade, small little Colorado setup, and I'm working that bait in the rivers, letting the current work that bait more than I am. It's really, really awesome when you have a really good smallmouth bite on a spinnerbait. Now we're hitting the time of the year. Temps are starting to drop in a lot of places. Those bass are getting more of a pre-feed before they move in, right? Before things really get going. Now, the cool thing about it right now in this time of the year is this is when I have the most fun with spinnerbaits. This is when you can really do some damage. They're on the edges of the cover, right on. You can almost call them out. You know, you see big, dense, thick cover. You can really work that cover hard. You know, and I'm using, you know, double willow leaves, willow leaf Colorado tandems. You know, and using them really, really set up. Really, really good setup. And I love chatterbaits, y'all. Trust me, I love them. this is a spinnerbait show. Trust me. I feel like I'm cheating on my chatterbaits, which I've thrown a lot this year. But, you know, that's the style that I'm looking at. And then going into, you know, again, falling back onto that bigger blade, Colorados, cooler water, working them slower, stuff like that. So that's the basis of that. Now, few things you need to understand. yeah, cheddar baits, especially that Acrobat jig, is stellar. Few little tips for spinner baits as well. Always run a trailing hook. Always run a trailing hook. Okay. Personally, for me, what I do is, we talked about this on the last show, and Chris pulled it up for me, and I thank you so much. I went out and bought like 6 bottles. Is liquid electrical tape. Another thing Chad showed me, and I love him to death for it. Thanks, Chad. If someone wants to send Chad the link to the show, because I'm giving him mad props. Chad showed me this, and all you do is you take the eyelet and you just dip it in there a few times and get that liquid electrical tape around that eyelet. Instead of using that pain in the butt tubing, it's so much easier. Just take it and you slide it right on after it dries. Beautiful. works great, allows that bait to swing, and it's stuff enough that it won't allow it to come off of the hook as well. So I think we covered that much already. We're going to take a quick break, okay? When we come back, we're going to talk about something I know some of you guys are already dying to know, and you've been going, what have you been doing, man? Why haven't you been talking about it? We're going to talk about it next. Skirts. Skirt color, styles, anything else along with that, all right? And I think Matt might just give away some stuff. I might well give away some stuff, too. How about that? So we'll be right back with more of the Low Sodium Show, only on the Kayak Fishing Radio Network.
Bull Bay Custom Rods are handcrafted, designed, built by fishermen for fishermen. Each blank goes through a rigorous stress test to ensure the highest quality, period. You can actually feel the action of the bite as well as lure vibration through the foregrip. Made with the highest quality components and made to your specifications. Bull Bay Custom Rods bring innovation to your hands. Go to bbrods.com to check out some amazing custom rods. Bull Bay Custom Rods, built by fishermen for fishermen.
Lick 'em lures, y'all. I have been talking about these cats all year, and they have saved me on several occasions. The tongue slapper. Guys, get yourself a pack of them. I'm telling you, they look funky. Trust me. But you know what? They catch bass. And they, for all you saltwater guys, they catch redfish, they catch trout. They are a stellar bait, so check them out. Go to lickemlures.com and pick yourself up a pack. Get the tongue, if you're just starting off, get the regular tongue slapper and smoke and silver, okay? You will not be disappointed. Lickemlures.com and check them out for yourself. There you go.
You are listening to The Low Sodium Show on Kayak Fishing Radio with your host, Mark, the Landing Crew Wheeler.
All right. So I'm going to hand this off to my main man, Mr. Matt, after the music stops. There we go. A little slow fade out.
Yeah, it takes a while to fade out. That, yeah, I feel like you're in India on the magic carpet ride.
I was thinking more of, you know, floating down, you know, a river in Vietnam or something like that, you know, fishing for snakeheads. That'd be cool.
Yeah, that
fishing for snakeheads with that music in the background. Be like, oh!
Yeah.
Busted snakeheads.
Giant jungle fish, river monsters,
yeah.
Right? You need your giant Shimano, like, 250 reel. with your tuna ball-bearing guide rod.
Yeah. So, Matt, I hear you're giving away something. Take it away, man.
Well, I was going to give away one Jackson Kayak nice refrigerated koozie for your soda can, but I'm actually going to give away two. So all you have to do is
awesome.
Call into the show and answer this question, which is, what are Mark's favorite spinner blades that he mentioned on the show earlier? The number is 714-816-4727. I'll take the calls in order.
There you go. While you're at it, okay, caller number three is going to get a pack of my two favorite spinner bait colors and styles that I use, that I'm using right now, right meow, as of right now, that I'm using. Okay? So again, caller 3, 714-816-4727. We'll get two of the colors that I'm using right now, thanks to huntfishpaddle.com. All right? So call in. Hurry up. Okay, let's talk about skirts. Some guys are talking about kilts. Ooh! We got collars. Some people talk kilts or you know, little mini skirts. I'm partial to the mini skirts. So let's break this down. Skirt color matters. Okay. When I am using, or when I get on the water, the first thing I do is I look at the water clarity. That's going to determine the skirt color. Okay. That's how I break it down. Muddy water, it's going to be a chartreuse color. Okay. Chartreuse with a little bit of white. Chartreuse with a little touch, a little something special of red a lot of times. Chartreuse and red are deadly. Chartreuse and orange, like the electric chicken, deadly. And I'm talking real muddy water, 1 foot or less visibility. And that's going to be matched with usually an Indiana or Colorado blade. And really a stellar. Now, with that being said, when I start improving in color, I start moving towards those, hang on 1 second. I gotta do something. Hang on. When I get that visibility, I start moving towards that natural forage color. A little bit of chartreuse and white, but more white. White speckles, okay? White with some black in it. Your shad colors, blue and white. Blue, all blue. Blue with a little bit of red in it. I really, really like an all-white. It's just a solid color as well. White works in dark colors, in dark water too, for whatever reason. You know, I really like, if I get to a lake where it has no shad, which you'll see a lot of in your northern lakes, you'll see a lot in your Midwestern lakes where they don't have shad, okay? Where they have a lot of brim, bluegill, sunfish, stuff like that. For that, I'll start using green pumpkins, watermelon skirts, skirts that have, you know, black and blues in them. Really are stellar that time of the year. And I use them in dark water as well. And usually it's all black. The only spinnerbait color I use at night is black. I don't use white. I don't use anything else. I use black. Please, if you're going to throw spinnerbaits at night, throw black, please. It just creates a better outline to catch those bass. Okay, so those are the colors that I use, and there are hundreds of skirt types. I use living rubber. Okay, it for me gives a better pulse, and it's just what it looks like. For me as well, I like to see spinnerbaits that have a double collar on them, meaning as you can slide a second skirt onto that jig head. Why is that important? That allows me to layer colors, okay, or make that bait look larger and more bulkier than it actually is. Wintertime, this is when I do it. Nighttime, always have a double. Early in the season, I have a double. Or when I need to accent one color. Great example. Blueback herring. Tons of blueback herring. They're everywhere. I need a color that matches that. What I will do is I'll take one skirt and I'll remove most of the skirting material out of it. Usually it's a white with the black flake in it, okay? Remove most of it so it's real thin. I'll put that on first. The next skirt that goes on is usually a very deep navy or a blue, okay, and with a white belly. I'll put that on behind it and leave as much of it, or I even add some skirt to it to really bulk it up. What that does is it gives it that blueback herring color where it's got that little dark, little white fleckle on the outside with that blue or navy blue inside. That is stellar. Sometimes I'll add green to it, especially if you have blue backs and have a lot of a greenish hue to the side. Then the lead skirt will have some green in it, some watermelon or chartreuse even, to give it that shad color. That is stuff I do. That makes that beat different. It makes it stick out. Next thing I do is I really love having that trailing style. You see it with Striking and Booyah a lot, where they have just a handful of strands, longer strands, sticking out the back end to cover up that trailer hook. I really like that. It really defines that bait and helps to cover up that hook if they're hook shy. That hook might be too shiny. I don't like red hooks. It's just me. Anyway, really is a way to go. One thing I do is when I'm using that bulkier style, I don't like, if I'm not using the trailing, that trailing strands, as I see a lot of guys, they take the skirt and they trim it straight. I don't like doing that. It just doesn't look right to me. What I do is if I've got enough strands sticking out the back, is I'll grip them down and I'll make angled cuts. Okay? What that does now is makes it bulge and then thin out just like a shad will. It gives it that shad pronounced, like rocket shape. Bulbous head with, you know, thin trail, thinner body, thinning out in the back. It's a great little trick I use. Skirt colors are entirely up to you. Find the one that works for you and work them out. Yes, spinner baits in winter, okay? Let's talk about that for a second. Jigs are the old standby with wintertime fishing, along with jerk baits and a lot of other things. But a big Colorado blade, I'm actually going to do some more stuff for you there, Tommy, on YouTube. A big Colorado blade, okay? Match that up with, usually that time of the year, I like a crappie color. So white with black flake, that's matching the crappie. I have a lot of crappie here, that's why. White with black flake, add some green strands to it there, Sean, and that's going to give you the crappie color. Okay, a lot of crappie in the wintertime. Bass migrate with the crappie as well. All right, and crappie usually spawn before the bass will. Little knowledge for you. Okay. Cool. But using that spinner bait, you can work it at a decent clip. You'll be surprised how fast you can run it on the bottom and still catch bass. Okay, you can cover water and find the school with the spinner bait, then go in and start hitting them with the... Sean, I'm talking all winter, bud. All winter. I really believe that spinnerbaits, crankbaits, you can run crankbaits and spinnerbaits through the wintertime as well. Okay? Sorry, bro, that's my train of thought. Sent a message. But yeah, using those baits, you don't have to... Wintertime, please understand, is there's two winter times per year for bass, and I fish in the same way. Right now in the summer doldrums, right, those bass are in those deeper holes. They're using the thermoclines. They're rising and falling, okay? They're on those offshore humps. That's all that they're doing, right? Same thing with the crappie. Follow the crappie, which are a big forage for bass, especially in the summer and winter. Okay, along with the shad. But using that spinnerbait, you can cover water the same way you do right now. That makes any sense. Trust me, I love throwing jigs in the wintertime. But try a spinnerbait. Try a big Colorado-bladed spinnerbait. Oh, who makes that one? War Eagle. And War Eagle could be found at huntfishpaddle.com. Give them a call, okay? They have a spinnerbait that has a big Colorado blade. And I'm trying to find it. Hang on, buddy. The exact size is, or the exact number. But take that big Colorado blade of spinnerbait, get the chartreuse and white. Okay? That chartreuse and white is going to be stellar. Use a half or three-quarter ounce. Preferably for me, it's a three-quarter. Okay? Super, super long cast. All right? And work it. You know, you want to make a revolution about every 1 second. So, 1,001, 1,002, 1,003. To get that bait to move through there. If you're hitting bottom, drop down to a half ounce, okay, until they start hitting it. All right, I'm telling you, man, try it this winter. Unless you're Chris Carlisle, who, you know, probably in the next week or two is going to have about 3 feet of snow on the ground. you can't really do that. But, yeah, definitely worth trying, man. War Eagles make some great baits as well.
So we got some winners, Mark.
Okay. Shout them out.
All right. Our first caller was Tommy Head Jigs, who won a Jackson Kayak beer koozie. And our second caller was Chris Carlisle, who also won a Jackson Kayak beer koozie. And our third caller was Tommy Head Jigs again, who won the grand prize.
Cool.
So we got Tommy Head on the line here, and we'll bring him in for a minute or two. What's up, Tommy? Congratulations.
Hey, what's up, Mark? Hey, thanks.
What's going on, buddy?
What's up, Tommy? Congratulations. I told Matt I was going to hang up, see if I can be number three.
There you go.
He got in there.
Where are my jigs, man?
There you go. Hey, I'm making them.
Okay, cool. Folks, this is, if you don't know who this is, again, this is Tommy Head Jigs, one of my personal sponsors and good friends. I'm telling you guys, try them. Try them. Definitely worth it. So what you got, man?
What do I got?
Yeah, what's going on?
What do I got? Let's see. Next month I'm getting GON, Georgia Outdoor News. They're going to do videoing of me making the jigs.
Nice.
Going to be on their webpage. And right now, the pink pepper's hot here in the South. It's a really hot color.
Yeah, you know that, and I think that's because that worm hatch is starting to happen. We've had a lot of worm hatches here where that pink with a bubble gum or ox blood colored finesse has been really good.
Hey, Tommy, you got to turn that on your radio, buddy.
It's not my radio, it's my computer.
Oh, your speakers.
Oh, you're on Kayak Fishing Radio, right?
Hey, you know, it's Kayak Fishing Radio. It's on the blog site. It's old PC. And yes, Chris, I do sound horrible.
Chris is just upset he didn't win the grand prize. See, if he had quick dialing fingers, he could have got on there.
Well, all I can say is that each month I am doing a special color.
Okay.
This month is watermelon. Next month, I believe, is pink pepper. October, I believe, is pumpkin.
Oh, that pumpkin. Expect another big order, dude. I love my pumpkin colors. Love them.
I thought pink pepper was hot this month.
Now, pink pepper's hot. What we did is we went by the gems of the month, or birthstones, and these are ones that we closely relate to. So once a month, I will have a different color.
Oh, there's actually an art behind this. I didn't expect that. I just figured it was what you felt like running that month.
No, when my wife got involved in it, it became even, you know, it became special.
Very nice.
Yeah. And, I mean, the shirts for kayakers, they're going pretty good right now.
Cool.
How's the CUDA?
The CUDA, I love it.
Nice.
Yep. Now, if
awesome.
I sell my bass boat, if I can sell the bass boat, I'd be really happy.
Bud, you know, I'm saving for it. I'm saving.
I did qualify for the state championship.
Cool.
Which is a $35,000 bass tournament.
Nice.
Awesome. Cool, man. Cool.
So
with that,
Tommy,
well,
congratulations, buddy.
Thanks a lot. New work hours, so I can listen to you guys now on Wednesdays. I work Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday. I'm off Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday.
Excellent.
Oh, that's awesome. Cool,
and
buddy.
This week with the holiday is 5 days off. Man, I'm loving this.
You get a lot of fishing in. A lot of jig head making and a lot of fishing.
I'm going to get Mark put in a pretty good order, so I'm going to get his stuff done tomorrow.
Cool. I got a tournament, not this weekend, but next weekend. I'm definitely going to need them.
So what would happen with the ABA? I thought you qualified for their championship.
I did. I qualified for the regional championships, and unfortunately, due to my unexpected circumstances with the Navy and my wife, I would not be able to attend. So, kind of a disappointment, but I have got the Hominis Dominus from the wife. So next year, I'll be fishing three series. It's going to be the ABA. I'm going to fish the BFLs from FLW, as well as the local Rayovacs. Apparently next year, there's going to be about five within 500 miles of here. Smith Mountain, Potomac, High Rock, and Lake Norman. So that's going to be a great little setup for next year. So stay tuned for that. I'm going to be a fishing fiend.
I heard that.
So, all right, man. Thanks for calling in. Congratulations on winning, finally.
Yeah, it's about time, ain't it?
I know, right? I know. So,
yeah.
God bless, Tommy.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye, man. All right, folks, that was Tommy with Tommy Head Jigs. Check him out at TommyHeadJigs.com. Remember, buy two packs of the watermelon this month and get a pack free.
That's a good deal.
That is a very good deal.
Yeah.
Now, let's... five-pack,
too, so...
Yeah, I know. I mean, I put in an order that I got to bust out its own separate Plano box. but now let's talk about real fast how to work a spinnerbait. Listen, when you throw a spinnerbait out and you just reel it in, yes, you will catch bass. But you won't catch a lot of them. If you're looking for lots and lots and lots of bass, this is what you're going to do. Don't be afraid to throw that bait into cover. That's the first thing. Bounce it. Think of crankbaits, right? We talk about crankbait fishing. We talk about deflection. Okay, we talk about erratic movements. Okay? With the spinnerbait, you need to do the same thing. I throw them into thickets and cover. Okay? With that single hook, as long as you're not, you know, yanking it all crazy-like, it'll come right out of that cover and work fine. If you're in open water or you're working stumps, I'm taking my line and actually using it to roll that bait around the stumps. In open water, okay, this is my cadence usually, is I'm reeling and I'm stopping and pausing. Literally, it's reel, pause, begin. Okay? And what that's doing is, and it's very important, is what that's doing is it's stopping that bait, that skirt is flaring, and those blades are dropping. When you kick that, when you crank again, what's happening is those blades are now clacking together. Okay? You want that clack. It's stellar. It gives it that different. It makes it look like the bait school, like every other shad bait school, because that's what you're imitating, is a bait school, is actually now changing direction. Or watch a bait school. Just watch it. You'll see it. It moves, stops, and kind of turns and moves and stops and changes direction, or just moves and stops. And that's what you're imitating. All right, stop, pause, pause, stop, pause, stop, pause, stop, pause, stop. Okay, all the way through there. Snap that rod tip. One of my favorite things is to take it while I'm reeling, pause, and snap the rod tip vertically. Make that bait whole thing come towards the surface like a shad school will. It'll rise up if there's something near it. It'll create that reaction strike. Trust me, working a bait like that, pause, stop, pause, you know, reel, stop. Speed up real fast, 5 or 6 cranks. Just burn it. Ah! Make that whole thing kind of rotate like a school will sometimes. Let it realign itself. Crank it again. Be erratic, okay? this is the time to be a spaz, okay? And being all serious, being a spaz is where you need to be at this point. Pause, stop, reel, snap, sweep the rod, maybe. Sweeping the rod in the wintertime, like a Carolina rig, is stellar, man. Some nice sweeps, where especially that Colorado, because it's going to rise. You're going to pause while you're reeling. Rise and slow. Rise, yo-yo it back in. Excuse me. Now, where do you fish a spinnerbait this time of the year? If you're going to go out this weekend and fish, this is what I would do. 1/4 ounce, double willow leaf, okay? Hang on 1 second. I got to get this out of my head. Blade colors, okay? Match the blade color to the cloud cover, meaning if you can see the sun is yellow, so go with gold. Okay? If it's cloudy, go with silver. And take everything I just said and throw it out the door. It really, in my mind, don't really matter. I use silver a lot. I use gold a lot. Some days I'll throw both styles and still catch bass. Just always interchange blades. And that's where having a Barlow's or a Jan's, where you can go in. Let's see here. There we go. Willow leaf spinner blades. Okay. And for a pack of 100, okay, and we'll go with size 3, which is your average. For size 3, for 100 of them, is $12. Okay. You can buy packs of 25. For even the largest ones are only $5. Okay. I always keep extra blades, so that's why I'm not actually cutting and tying. It takes a second to change out those blades until you find what you're looking for, what the bass are looking for. Okay? It's as simple as that. Now, you're this time of the year, I'm using double willow leaves, and I'm burning it, right? I want to see that bait in the water the whole retrieve in. Okay? So when I make my cast, I'm not lobbing it in. I'm going to do an under roll, real subtle drop into the water. I'm not trying to get it to splash. Sometimes a splash is great, but you just kind of drop it in. As you see that bait ready to enter the water, engage that reel and start reeling. You're going to get that slack out of there, so the moment it hits, it's moving. Okay? This is two things. One, if you're pounding the shoreline, a lot of times you'll have bites the moment it hits the water. Those bass, I swear, they see it coming in the air, it lands in front of them, and they eat it. And if you've got a big bow in your line, you're not going to be able to catch up to them. Okay? That's my thing. Underhand roll cast, and I can toss it 30 yards plus with a good roll cast. But the moment it hits the water, I'm reeling, okay? And I'm going to use my rod tip, depending on how fast I'm reeling, to keep that bait where I can see it. Usually, it's about 6 inches underneath the surface, maybe more, maybe less, depending on the rod tip. When it's really far away from me, that rod tip's up and high, okay, to keep that bait up if I'm cranking it slow. If I'm burning it, I'll drop that rod tip a little bit, keep it just underneath the surface, okay, and using that rod to dictate the depth of that bait. When that bass eats it, okay, the one thing I'm going to tell you, when that bass eats it, go, oh, that's all you do, go, oh, then set the hook, okay, or go, bass, set the hook. Given that second where you go, bass, reel, and what you're going to do is a 45-degree angle hook set. Do not sweep. Do not go straight up and down. Go 45. Okay, you want to bring your thumb, let's say you're cranking with the right hand. Your left hand's holding the reel, right? He eats it. Crank. When that rod starts to feel heavy, set the hook and bring your thumb to your opposite shoulder. Left hand, right shoulder, right hand, left shoulder. Okay? Cranking the whole time. Okay? Reason is because that wire's in the way. If you go straight up, that wire's going to bend down and keep that hook point from catching. If you sweep it, that bait, okay, coming out the side of his mouth, you got the wire in the way again. But if you come up at a 45, it's going to make that bait roll, come up the top of his mouth, all right, and catch him right on the top, because now that hook, that wire is being pushed away and allowing that hook to catch it. It sounds scientific, and it is. I spent mucho many days sitting there doing that, testing the hook sets. And I actually have it logged. I'm looking at my log right now from when I did it. It took me a month. Okay? Vertical hook sets. Out of 175 bites, I hooked 82. Sweep. Out of the 104, I had 50 hooks. Getting them. When I did the 45... with the crank, while cranking it in, okay, out of the 130 able to land, okay, 110. That tells you something. That tells you that's the hook set. Okay, don't stop reeling, but you reel and shoulder. Reel and shoulder. Not straight up, not to the side, shoulder. All right? And don't stop reeling until he's got it. Meaning you'd spend 10 seconds of that fight. All right? Simple. Easy. Everyone like that? Everyone kind of has any questions? Please, remember, we've got a few minutes. Go ahead, throw your questions up on the page, on the chat room, and we will answer them.
Yeah.
So if you have any questions, folks,
for everybody to digest, they're all sitting over there, information stomaching.
Oh yeah,
chewing, yeah.
Chew on that. please, if you have any questions at all, find me on Facebook. I'm Mark Landing Crew Wheeler. Send me a message. Send me whatever. Okay, I will answer them. Trust me. Anyone has ever asked me a question, I have answered. Okay. So please. Go check them out. Send me messages. Send me questions. It could be about spinnerbaits, chatterbaits. It could be about anything. Please, please, please ask. Oh, one last
thing.
Hey,
do you ever use more than two blades on your spinnerbait?
Oh, yes. I've got some that I've made that have, I think I've got one that's got six on it.
Six?
Yeah, it's real small because I was fishing a Kerr Reservoir. No, it was Lake Gaston, excuse me. Gaston had a big shad spawn. There was a ton of baby shad in the water. and we're talking inch and a half shad, and that's what the bass were eating. And they were in these, oh, thanks, Tommy. Dude, I love you to death, man. And they were eating the small little schools of shad. And I'd see them in the water, the school shad would go by, and bam, he'd eat them. So I actually, it was a two-day tournament. The first day, I did pretty well. I think I had like 15 pounds. Came in the next day, and I was six places out from first. Oh, excuse me, I was six places out from getting a check. And I went in, and in the hotel room, I always carry too much stuff, and I was actually carrying a do-it mold and extra wire, and made a bunch of spinnerbaits in my hotel room. And I put a bunch of blades on there, these little itty-bitty half-inch to an inch blades. And
cool.
Went out there, and, you know, I caught 19 pounds, which put me in eighth place at the end of the tournament, brought home a check. So
you ever put hooks on the top where the blade goes?
No, I don't. Reason is it inhibits the spin, and it just really is hard to it's really hard to get a hook set on them. Plus, it turns into an issue because now when that blade is sticking out and that hook, you get a lot of eye hooks and stuff like that. It's just not good. I really like hammer blades in the wintertime. They add an extra little pulse. Or if you look around and everyone's using a smooth blade, there, Sean, I'll use a hammer blade. Add that little something different. And you know, this is your first time. Listen, low sodium. You hear me say this a lot. Find the different. Be the different. Okay? Great thing about fishing out of a kayak, okay, is if you will realize that when you're fishing a spinnerbait, the spinnerbait will actually pull you. So if you're fishing an area where you're working through treetops, you know, just a big tree area, you know, lots of wood, you never have to put your paddle in the water. You can cast and pull yourself through the trees and everything. Really is effective. It's how I do it. I can work a whole shoreline, a whole lake, with never putting my paddle in the water by just using that spinnerbait to guide me and work that area. Adding the rattles, definitely. The jig rattles works great. The hammered, okay? That hammering, some people say reflects more light. I don't know. I've seen guys that have hammered styles that actually have little crystals on them, little mirrors, little pieces of glass on them that they glued on to reflect light. Yeah, the blade should be nice enough that it shouldn't need that. What I think it does more than anything is those ripples create more of a turbulence when that blade is spinning, when it's breaking through the water. And actually, most hammered blades, when I work them towards the surface and I'm working them, actually create a better bubble trail than anything else. And really are stellar. Painted blades, chartreuse painted blade in muddy water is excellent. It doesn't shine, but what it does is it creates a better silhouette, and it's really, really stellar. You know, I kind of stay away from like the shad or the actual like really detailed ones, because it's the painted ones, just I don't know, it's just not my style. Granted, do I have them? Yes. Do I use them? Of course. Do I catch bass on them? Yes. But for my money, 9 times out of 10, it's going to be a shiny blade. Now, how to get more shine out of your blade? Okay, if it's not corroded too bad, and how to, you know, because if it gets smudgy or you get stuff on it, how to clean those blades? And it's as simple as a ketchup packet from McDonald's. Okay, all you're going to do is take some of that ketchup, put it on the blade, rub it in a little bit, and just let it sit there for 5 minutes. Then go in with a cloth, clean it off, okay, and buff it. The acids in the ketchup break down any malformity, okay, that might be on that blade. I don't dip them in Julie Cleaner because then it's got that that chemical on it. An acid, again, it's a chemical. I'd rather use something that I've got. Plus, if I'm on the kayak, I've got, you know, ketchup packet small. I can keep it in the back. You know, I keep it in my pocket or whatever. Little squeeze. I can work on my blades that fast. If you're on a big boat, yes. Yes, definitely. You know, have some jewelry cleaner. You know, steal from your wife. You know, dip it in some jewelry cleaner, you know, buff it out, and you'll be golden. But for a quick fix, vinegar, yeah. You know, if you want to dip it in some, you know, malt vinegar, you know, go right ahead. Tabasco, again, it's that acid which helps get rid of that corrosion, as long as it's not too bad. Not malt liquor, they're a Jersey boy. But yeah, that's a little tip. One last thing. If you're going to use scent, Coke, yes, you know, put it on my – I drink the Coke, so I don't want to put my blades in it. Anything that helps get rid of corrosion. Brasso works great. But if you're going to use scent on a spinnerbait, or if you use a plastic trailer, okay, I've got 2 minutes, break out plastic trailers real fast. I use flukes or I'll use swim bait trailers, okay, on my spinnerbaits. What I do is I take the swim bait or fluke. We'll say it's a super fluke, right? I take the head of the bait and I lay it next to the jig head, same way I would if I was going to rig it that way. I'm going to take the trailer and I'm going to place it where the trailer would normally sit on that bait. I know I've got 90 seconds. Knock it off, woman. It's the queen. Okay, I'm going to lay it next to it. What I'm going to do is actually run that hook on that trailer all the way through. That's soft plastic. I'm going to take the eye and just make sure that eye, that hook, that trailer hook is laying just on top of the bait. Okay? I'm then going to run that trailer like I normally would and then run that soft plastic through. Knock that hook on there. I know, I've got 60 seconds. Knock that hook on there. Bring it down. And now I've got a trailer with a setup on it. Whew. All right. I'm going to have that in a video coming up here soon. So stay tuned for that. With that being said, thank you, Matt, for showing up and being my co-host. Thank you, buddy. We've got only a few.
Yeah, no problem. Check out theplastichull.net for my blog updates.
Okay, cool. Thank you, Orca Coolers, Bull Bay Rods, Lick'em Lures, Tommy Head Jigs, HuntFishPaddle.com, and Jackson Kayak. Thank you so much. With that being said, folks, get out this weekend. Take a kid out in the outdoors. They never make true memories sit in front of a TV. If you get out this weekend in a kayak or on a boat or whatever, always wear your PFD. It does you no good if it's going away and you're sinking. It does you no good. And remember, if you get out there fishing, fortune favors the bold. And to get you a fish, oh, man, oh, yeah, we did it, baby, before she called me out. Thanks, everybody. Have a great night. See you next time on the Low Sodium Show, only on the Kayak Fishing Radio Network with 1 second.